Go ahead, Brother Edie. We can't hear you very well. But go ahead and try again.
I'll just say, praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Amen.
And yes, praise amen. The Lord, hallelujah. Just praising the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Encouragement, people.
It is.
We just rejoice in Him. Amen.
Amen, brother.
What a handsome couple. What beautiful people you are. God bless you.
Yeah, Jim, I have one more word here. You're talking about falling star or fallen mm-hmm. star.
Yeah.
Matthew 23, Jesus spent practically the whole chapter telling the religious people that their day was finished. Mm-hmm. And he told them why that they had killed the prophets and rejected the word, and that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Zacharias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And in verse 38, he finishes, he said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate.
Yeah.
Their house, the house of Judaism, of religion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to happen to other houses as well. The house of the different, many different houses in the outer court. It's not just one of them, Jim. It's right. Not just prosperity, but there's others that are preaching a false doctrine. They've come into this thing through a false way, and it's all going to be revealed and manifest.
Right.
We could talk about the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, it just goes on. Their house is left unto them desolate.
Mm-hmm.
That is a very strong prophecy. The house is still there, but it's desolate. I think we could refer maybe to Rita's vision of what, 10 years ago? Choose the house.
Right.
We are in a position still. The prophetic word is still active. We are still in a place where we still have to choose, and we can choose the house that is desolate.
Yep.
Or the house that's alive.
Amen.
Thank you, Jim. Good work.
I had a few thoughts from Jim's message. One of the things that it said about Eli was he was heavy of flesh. And probably that was literally from eating the food that was brought to the house of God. But we know that everything has a spiritual meaning. And so we want to look at the spiritual side of that. And what came to my mind was, when the people came out of Egypt, which that's what we're supposed to be doing, Egypt stands for sin. When they came out of Egypt and they were out in the wilderness, God told Moses, I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you for food. So the people were eating this manna, and I suppose it was something about like a saltine cracker maybe. And so the people are eating this stuff and they start complaining, saying, what is this? You know, that's exactly what the outer court people say when you start telling them about the real God. what is this foolishness you're trying to tell me? And so they were complaining. They said, give us flesh. The people didn't like this manna that God was giving them. They said, give us flesh. And it said that God caused quail to come in from the sea. Now, do the quail usually hang out in the sea? You know where this flesh, this word is coming from? The preachers Jim was talking about in the church. It said that quail came in from the sea. And still while the people were eating it, God brought wrath on them. And the thing that the bottom line in that story to me is this. We need to be satisfied with spiritual food and forget about this flesh and this carnality. And the reason being is because if you can't be happy with just spiritual life now, what makes you think you're going to be happy in heaven with just spiritual life? Because believe me, God is not going to fill heaven with a bunch of unhappy campers. And what we need to do is just like Paul, he said, everything in this life, everything on this earth, everything of flesh has become like dung to me. And you know, that's exactly what happens when you really get a hold of God. Everything else just doesn't mean anything. And so I just want to encourage everybody to learn. You know, Jesus said, taste of me and see that I am good. When we find out how good Jesus is, how good the spiritual life is, how good God is, we don't desire any of this flesh, any of this carnality. And we recognize it when people try to bring it to us, you know, and that's how we'll reject us. So anyway, that's what came to me today. God bless.
Amen. I also want to say one little thing about Samuel. When God came to him, the dissatisfaction God had with him was that he restrained not his children. When we look at the word, we see that Eli actually called his children and he rebuked them that what he is hearing is not good, that they should stop what they are doing. But God wanted them to go further to restrain them, stop them from doing that, take necessary actions to put them within limits. But he didn't do that. He only echoed the voices of the people that, look, you are fornicating, you are taking the best of the offerings for yourself. This is not good. That was what he was saying. But God wanted him to restrain his children. That is to stop them, to take necessary steps to control the activities in the temple. That speaks to you and I. You know, sometimes when we see a thing that is wrong, we only speak about it and we stop at that point. But God wants us to take action, and action must follow. That is what shows that actually you want that iniquity to stop. That is why in certain places, God will say that there are some people who are speaking vile words, and such mouths must be stopped. So we have a duty as brethren to ensure that we do not only speak, but also take action. It could be with ourselves, it could be with our children, it could be in the church. Sometimes we do not take action because we want peace. But I think that peace is not peace, actually. God's peace comes with manifestation. You must separate yourself for men to see that you want that sin to come to an end. So I think that is a lesson that I have learned, and I'm praying that I walk by it. Praise God, brethren.
Amen. Eli had the power to do more than just say, you ought not to be doing this. He had the power to remove them from priesthood, to fire them, we should say. There were plenty of other men in Israel, in the house of Levi, that could have taken their place as priesthood. And you see the terrible thing of what Saul did to the 70 priests, the whole house of Abimelech. They were all of Eli's house that were just slaughtered. I mean, it was terrible what Saul did. And nevertheless, it was still a result of Eli's sin that went off into another generation and caused the demise of a whole family, as the prophet had warned them was going to happen. Amen. So yes, Eli had the power, not just to rebuke them with his mouth, but to take action and do something about it. And you know, the other thing that comes to me, now you tell me if I'm wrong in this, but Eli was also a natural father, okay? They were growing men. They were, who knows, 40, 50 years old at this time. Nevertheless, as a father, he had another responsibility to at least tell his children that they're going the wrong way. And I believe that applies to us. If we see our children going the wrong way, we have a responsibility to at least tell them. Now, they're adults, they can do what they want, but nevertheless, if I hear a word for them, I'm going to give it to them. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Come on. Yeah. Oh. All right. I wanted to share a verse with you from the fifth chapter of Jeremiah. It says, an astonishing and horrible thing is committed in the land. Prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own means. And here's the problem. I mean, that's a problem, certainly. But even more so, it says, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? You know, it's, you know, this Adamic nature causes people to rise up in themselves and commit all kinds of injustice, which you see in this word of faith movement that brother was talking about today, this prosperity message. But, you know, the thing is, the people sitting there under that, the thousands, tens of thousands, let's say, that are accepting this message and never questioning it. And I believe that's because, you know, a lot of them aren't filled with the Spirit. It's, you know, again, it's the outer core church. And they don't know the Word of God. And they don't want to make the effort to get into the Word of God and see all of the falsehood and all of the injustice that's being done. And, you know, it occurs to me is that it really takes an effort to do what you're supposed to do in following God, in understanding His word and seeking. You know, it says another place in Jeremiah chapter 29, I believe, it says, "You will seek after me and find me when you seek after me with your whole heart." And the outer court church, yay, let's talk about us. You know, are we seeking after him with our whole heart? Okay, not half-heartedly, but with our whole heart. The people that go to the churches in large, they don't carry a Bible in the church with them. They just accept what's being told to them from the pulpits. And they love to have it that way. You know, it's easier that way. You don't have to use this amazing organ that God gave us called the brain. You know, let's just sit back and relax and enjoy this prosperity word. I like it. But again, what will they do in the end thereof? There's an accountability that God is going to hold them to. So we need, all of us need to repent and ask for deliverance in wherever we're failing. You know, we can look, like the brother said today, we can look at all the other people out there that are sitting under this kind of rule and accepting it. But just like they need to repent, we too need to repent. That's really the word, I guess, for today. Amen.
Larry, you have watched this thing play out now for 40 some years. You have known people that have been with us and have made choices, made decisions to go this way, to go that way. We've watched it all, and I believe that God has given a fair opportunity for every man to make a choice. And we're making choices, but you know, I know that you have had the opportunity to view this firsthand for the past 40 years, haven't you, Larry?
Yes, amen. Yes, a lot of people have come and a lot of people have left. It's just, it wasn't what they wanted to hear. You know, people want to have their, I guess you called their flesh tickled, you know. When the message gets too difficult, it's easier to walk away, I guess.
But we've also seen some that have stayed.
Amen. Kathy.
Yes, amen. Amen. God bless her.
God bless you, Kathy.
Yes.
She's off the phone now, Larry, but I'll pass it on to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another thing that happens is they want their cake and to eat it too.
Explain that, Mike.
Well, you want to eat your piece of cake, but you still want it to be there too, so you'll still have it.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, and so a lot of people, you know, they want God, but they still want the flesh and the natural carnal life also. And so it's just like when, who was it? I think it was Elijah that said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? Are you going to sit on the fence your whole life, or are you going to choose one side or the other?"
Well, we
we could have mentioned other strands of deception with the gospel. I just chose to center on the prosperity message simply because it's the most prominent in the Western church today. Everybody wants to hear and follow this prosperity. And sad to say, some brethren, like you were talking about, Mark, that we fellowship with are in this prosperity because it's an easy, it's a wonderful word. It's not true, but it's wonderful. And I wanted to mention, you know, we mentioned about visions and dreams. And I had a post Friday. If you are on my mailing list, and if you're not, you can send your email to Mark and he can get it to me and I'll add you. But I mentioned the importance of visions and dreams and prophetic ministries. And I included in the bottom of that post, I included some website, the Sunlight Devotion, where you can see the original vision of Brother Duciel about the 1,000-pound sack of food. There's a vision there about the glory train of Brother Campbell. And there's a vision of Brother Tommy Hicks and some other ones. So I just want to emphasize the importance of visions, dreams, and prophetic words in this body, because they have been a part of guiding this fellowship through the years from the beginning, even now. And thank God that we had a fresh dream that Rita, and I mentioned Rita's dream. So pay attention to your visions and dreams and share them with the body, because it's important that we hear, because God is speaking to his people in this hour.
Yeah, Brother Jim, Brother Benda is still alive.
Praise God.
Christina just told me a couple weeks ago that he's still here.
Praise God.
He's not terribly active. He's quite old, but he's still here as a witness.
Praise the Lord.
You know, when you were telling about how they survived under the Nazis and the communists, you may remember Ferenc and Magda in Hungary. They had a very similar story, that the word of God came into that little group. It was none of us that brought it to them. It was just the Holy Spirit that brought them that message. And they began to gather those in that little village of Kiskehalas. And they said that they were aware the communists came, and they gathered around the house and they intended to put a stop to it. But the power, and I don't know whether you want to call it the exousia power or what you want to call it, was so strong on that house that they could not come in and interrupt the meeting. And Brother Frank was a totally, totally disabled man, laid on a stretcher. Only thing he could move was his hands. He had no natural power of his own. And yet the mighty exousia of God was with that little group. Amen. They've gone to meet their reward now. But God has these witnesses tucked in here and there,
right,
everywhere. Brother, we're going to see these stories when we come to glory, and we're going to hear them, and we're going to hear them for 1,000 years.
You know,
amen,
another
Brother Mark. And just to emphasize, while Eli and his sons were in the forefront, Samuel was hidden away. God has his sons hidden away, anointed of God. And when the time is right, until the sons of God begin to arise, God is going to empower his people at the right time. Amen. So fear not, little flock. It is God's desire to give unto you the kingdom.
Yes. Amen. Madeline, go ahead.
Amen.
Yes, another one I was thinking of when Jim was talking about that other man going through Nazis and everything, Cora Ten Boom.
Yeah.
Her sister and her father, how they hid the Jews and how they really put their own lives in danger. And it was a remarkable story. And just to face the Nazis alone and what they went through, what they witnessed, they were a great revelation to the people, not just then, but even now, as God has taken them to heaven. If you read their book, and you could gather a lot about the Nazis and about what the people went through and the horrific things that they had to face. So I guess take my hat off to people like that, because they are God's witness and they have a great testimony. Even if they're not with us now, their legend lives on.